This is an ABC podcast.
This is The Country Hour with Angus Firley on ABC Radio.
Angus Firley here. Welcome to The Country Hour on what is a horrific fire conditions day right around the state. We will, of course, be focusing on fires on the program today, particularly those emergency level fires at Longwood and Walwa. We'll have all of the latest from the State Control Centre very soon, and we'll be talking to people who've been affected by those fires. And if you've been affected, if you'd like to get in touch, 0467 842 722, the text line, or 1300 977 222 is how you can call in. And to begin the program, I am joined by David Nugent, State Control Centre spokesperson. Afternoon, David.
Yeah, good afternoon, Angus.
David, just update me with the latest, particularly for those Longwood and Walwa fires.
Yeah, no worries. It's obviously a difficult day for many of those communities that are being affected by those two main fires and some other fires that we might chat about in a moment as well. But particularly, I'll just talk to the Longwood fire. To start with, yeah, that fire now is over 44,000 hectares, and that's a big number. That's a big fire, and really impacting a number of communities in that area in sort of north central Victoria, sort of southeast of Longwood towards Merton, and you know, even across to Alexandra. We have a number of warnings in place there, as people would imagine, and hopefully have seen emergency warnings that are in place for those communities around that Longwood fire. And the conditions today, obviously, that fire will continue to expand even this morning. As I've been checking the areas to share with you now, that fire has grown nearly 10,000 hectares again. So it continues to burn as these really hot north-northwesterly winds are developing across northern Victoria.
And David, those 10,000 hectares, they've burnt in a matter of hours.
Yeah, that's right. As I say, these conditions that we have today are just really difficult for firefighters and community members, where we see fires just expanding really quickly, particularly in rural areas where we've got grasslands, a mix of grasslands and bush and forest as well. So that fire is moving, and as I say, as a result of that, a number of emergency warnings that are in place, you know, surrounding and particularly to the sort of southeast, east and south of that fire under these north-northwesterly wind conditions.
And the Walwa fire?
Yes, the Walwa fire, Mount Lawson State Park, hasn't grown quite as much, but still very much an active fire. Again, emergency warnings in place there, and people may have heard, in fact, both of these fires generated their own weather yesterday afternoon, and number of we saw lightning coming out of the plumes from those fires, and so that the area up around the Mount Lawson fire continues to have those emergency warnings in place again to sort of the east and south, southeast and southern areas across towards Corryong as well. So that fire for people who may know that area, and for those who don't, Mount Lawson State Park, it's forested area, quite steep, and then unfortunately, the fire has burned into some pine plantations just south of the state park as well. So a lot of effort in as we are today, really focusing on asset protection and making sure that our communities are aware of of what's going on under these really hot and windy conditions.
David, in my memory, it doesn't feel like we've had a day this bad since Black Saturday.
Oh yeah, well it's a bad day. There's no doubt about that. Angus, Black Summer a few years ago, obviously, is probably the other one that many people will remember. So it's certainly, you know, in that 5 or 6 years, this is one of our worst days. There's no doubt about that. And you know that those days for many communities, they remember those and are really concerned with, you know, these sorts of conditions that we're presented with today. You know, for example, we have a fire just on the eastern side of the lake at Mallacoota. It's no threat to Mallacoota at the moment, but we know that community will be able to see the fire there and, you know, what communities like Mallacoota have been through in those 1920 fires. They'll be particularly concerned. So similarly up at Walwa with the Matt Lawson fire, you know, there are a number of communities that understand what these days are like and what significant fire activity looks like. So we're doing as much as we can to keep those communities informed, provide information to them so they know what's going on and are able to make the right decisions on a day like today.
I'm based in Horsham. We've got those really high winds, I think 80-kilometre wind gusts hitting us now. I don't think they've quite reached the northeast, but have aircraft been grounded now?
Angus, you're right. The winds are certainly picking up around the place. I haven't quite checked recently, but there are, as you rightly highlight, one of the things with our aircraft resources is that they are a terrific resource for us, but there are limitations to when they can safely operate. And there will be times when you know these winds, particularly you know when we get at them up to sort of 80 or 100 kilometres an hour, it's difficult for those aircraft to be able to fly, and we can't necessarily always rely on what they can do for us when you get to these really high wind situations. So yes, as those winds pick up around the state, we'll see those conditions make it really difficult for our aircraft.
And when you don't have aerial support in these conditions, is there anything that can be done from the ground?
Oh, Angus, our focus today really on these days and, you know, when we have these, particularly those catastrophic conditions that are in many districts and even the rest of the state that's under extreme, when fires get going on these days, it's in most scenarios, it's difficult for us to control them. So our focus becomes, and this is what we're doing today, particularly with the fires that we have, our focus becomes, you know, protecting the communities, protecting assets as we describe it, and making sure that we do whatever we can to make sure our communities are safe. Because you're clearly under, when you have these hot temperatures in the 40s, when you have these winds at 80, 100 k's, fires, it's very hard to control them. And if they get going, we just can't control them. And so our focus becomes on trying to protect communities, households, and doing that, as I say, that asset protection really is our focus.
And David, do we know, I mean, we've heard, people have probably heard in the news that there are three people missing, I believe. Do we know if it's just those three people? Do we know how many homes have been destroyed? Have you got those numbers like that?
I just checked before I spoke to you, Angus, and the information that we have on those three people that's unaccounted for. No update on that at this point. So you know that information is still, as we understand, is that there are those three people unaccountable. No update to provide to people at the moment. I'm sure that we'll be able to share that information. Hopefully, whenever we get good news about those people. In terms of assets. The Longwood fire, it's a big fire and we have had asset losses and we still, as I'm sure people would appreciate, our focus is on trying to protect those communities surrounding the fronts of the fire, and when it's safe to be able to get back in, we start to get a better understanding of what those losses look like. So yeah, we certainly have indication from our intelligence of, you know, of structures, houses that have been impacted by the fire, but we're just not in a position at the moment to be able to say how many or confirm where they are. That's our next stage after we get through a difficult day like today.
And when do you expect a reprieve in terms of weather conditions?
Yeah, well, the forecast for today, you know, we've got these really hot, windy conditions. There is a change coming through later today. So late today, we will see the wind shift around more to that south-southwest. It'll move across most of the state later today. The northeast probably won't feel that change today. It's a bit of a double-edged sword for us, Angus, in the sense that, yes, the temperatures will drop, but the winds are the really challenging part of, you know, that scenario that many people across Victoria know well. You know, those wind changes that we have the hot north-northwesterlies, and then it moves around to the west, around to the southwest and southerlies. So if we've got fires going later in the day, and we will have these two main fires and others around the state, then it's a really challenging situation for our firefighters to plan for those wind changes, make sure that we've got our focus on protecting those communities where, you know, we have an understanding of where the fire might run under those changing wind conditions. But it's a very volatile situation, and in fact we have storms that are forecast to come across the state as well, really volatile situation with strong winds, potentially more lightning. You know, we had lightning bands come through yesterday that have started a number of fires, particularly in the east, across the eastern ranges. I mentioned Mallacoota, but there are a number of other places, in the eastern Alps areas, even around between Orbost and Mallacoota. So we've got lightning strikes that have started fires there, and potential for that this afternoon again.
David, before I let you go, and I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but we've just had a couple of people texting in saying they're having issues with the Vic Emergency website, saying that it's crashing when they try and load the page. Is that something that the control centre's addressing?
I'm not aware of the issues with the website or the app, Angus. I'll chat to the team here, but we're very focused on that as a really important source of information for the community. As people would be aware, that's where we direct people to go to get information on the warnings and the actions that we ask people to take. So I know that the team here are very focused on making sure that as a really critical source of information is available to everybody. So I'll follow that up.
Appreciate your time. Thanks, David.
Thanks very much, Angus.
David Nugent there, State Control Centre spokesperson, just bringing you the latest. There's a lot more information we could have got into there, but we only do have limited time. And there is actually some new emergency warning information for the Longwood fire that has come through. And it goes as follows. Residents in Acheron, Devil's River, Eildon, Taylor Bay, Thornton must leave by 1 p.m. via the Taggarty Thornton Road and down the Maroondah Highway, and do not travel into Alexandra. So that information has just come to hand, and we will keep updating you with new information. On the text line, this person asking, is there any news on wildlife or farm animals affected by the current fires? We will talk shortly with the farmer who's been very badly affected in terms of his sheep flock, and I'm sure he's not the only one. This person says, hi Angus, it's 44 degrees in the southern Riverina, blowing a gale. Kelpies, cats and me under the AC. Good spot to be if you are in a safe area. And this person probably pulling me up a bit, and fair enough, they say that the Black Saturday fires were bad, but people seem to forget, even radio presenters, the huge tracts of East Gippsland that were burnt in 2019-20. We have not forgotten. Yes, I did reference Black Saturday. That was my experience, I suppose, as a Western Victorian. But yes, 2019-20, terrible time as well. If you'd like to text in, 0467 842 722.
On air, online and on the ABC Listen app. It's the Country Hour with Angus Verley from ABC Radio.
And let's talk now about some of the damage that fire has already caused in the Longwood region. Matt Fowles is a sheep producer and winemaker from Fowles Winery near Avenel. His property has been completely burnt out, and he's suffered huge losses in infrastructure, grapevines and livestock. Annie Brown spoke with him earlier.
Well, obviously the fire kicked off down near the highway at Longwood and crept up into the hills, which are, you know, heavily treed. So it had an opportunity to get going. And then I can't even remember the day really, but it's Thursday morning in terms of how it impacted us. We have a farm each side of the fire, and the wind swung around and it started really moving into the hills. And then it was about 9:30, it started going quite quickly through our place, and then we managed to save the winery with a couple of trucks and our amazing team who were all on little firefighter units, and then it just took off. And I only just managed to save my house with a friend and one of the CFA Land Cruisers, but that's all we had to work with, and just a couple of little simple firefighters. But we got overwhelmed with radiant heat and had to back away, and then got in there again and literally just managed to save our house. And then it just ripped through the rest of the property. So, unfortunately, my uncle lost a house, and we probably lost over 1,000 sheep. You know, we did our best to sort of manage other buildings and whatnot, lost a shed, and then, yeah, most of the vineyard is pretty much cactus.
Oh, Matt, that's awful to hear. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
That's devastating. Yeah.
It is devastating. So I've been, this is my 20th year, you know, as a farmer in the Strathbogies. We started Fowles Wine, and it was, you know, it's always, you know, the nature business is tough, and we expect fires. I've long worked in the CFA, and yeah, it, you expect it to be tough, but the ferocity of this fire was really the only other comparison is Black Saturday for me, where I was also involved on the trucks, and I'm very fearful about today.
So today is expected to be the worst day of the week in terms of fire danger. What's happening at your place today? Like, what can you see and what's it like?
So the, because of how big and fast the fire was, we've actually had most of our place, in fact, all of our place burnt out. The vineyard around the winery, everything, it's like a moonscape up there. So there's nothing much left to burn. So it's about mopping up and putting out spot fires, you know, obviously looking after homes and the winery itself and whatever else. But it's just, I mean, I was standing up on the hill last night, and it was just a sea of embers as far as the eye could see. So we're perched right up on top of the Strathbogies, and you literally, yeah, it was just a sea of glowing red. So, yeah, we just poke around and clean stuff up and, you know, do the best we can to keep things under control for what's going to be a bloody tough day.
I guess with losing so much of your vineyard as well, and did you say 1,000 sheep as well that you lost?
Yeah, we don't know yet. The DPI is going in there today to euthanise the sheep that need to be euthanised, but I would expect there were it was a mob of 1,400. We had them. We, you know, we did everything we could. Again, we didn't have the trucks or the choppers, so we were on, you know, the back of utes and tractors and trying to slow the flames across a big open grassy paddock, and we just could not bring it up. And, you know, the grass fires are relatively easier to put out than heavy scrub or tree fires. So, you know, we honestly thought we could do it, but there was, the boys gave it everything, and yeah, just couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. You couldn't beat it.
I know it's been an incredibly dry season last year in 2025. How is the country looking at the moment? Is it quite dry and obviously, burning pretty fast?
The pace of the fire was literally like nothing I've ever seen, me personally, but yeah, the country's tinder dry. We had a really late season, and because it was late, the soil had warmed up and everything bounced out of the ground. So we went from having very little and then a heap of rain and then a huge amount of grass, and you just couldn't chew it out in time with the stock. So there was a lot of cover. There was just a lot of cover everywhere, and it's the case all over the region. So that's, along with the wind, that's how the fire was able to get so much speed, and it had a lot of fuel to burn. It just took off.
And with your vineyard, I mean, you're pretty close to vintage, right, at this time of year as well?
Yeah, so vintage was going to be you know, early March probably. Mm. So you can imagine, I mean, obviously the main thing is everyone's safe, which we've, all our team who helped us to the very end are all safe, and family and whatnot. But then, you know, you can't help but think about the commercial impact. And, you know, we've probably sunk 80% of our cost into that crop this year. So for us, financially, it's just a massive blow. You know, no prospect of recovering any of it.
Wow. So, yeah, once a grapevine burns, it's kaput, it's done?
I think there's no prospect of the vines recovering, but I've already had a chat to a gentleman in the industry, and he's going to put me in touch with someone who's had a bit of experience with it to see whether we can salvage any of the vineyard. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Get have an assessment. But yeah, that's your entire vintage gone this year. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. 100% loss of vintage this year, which is just unbelievably upsetting. And we've been wine business 20 years. We're really hitting our straps in terms of we're getting unbelievable awards, and we've been top 100 in the world in Wine Spectator in the US, which is just such uncharted territory, or rarefied air. And, you know, we're really, really starting to run, and this is just the biggest gut punch that I've ever experienced in my life. But, I mean, we've got good stocks in the winery, and thankfully we were able to save that with the help of the CFA. And so the wine that from previous vintages is all there and absolutely unharmed. And so we've got continuity in that sense. But to be honest, I haven't had enough time to even think about, you know, what are the next steps in terms of re-establishing. Well, we have to work out whether the vines will make it through at all. And then, you know, what are the next steps in terms of which direction do we go? So, yeah. But I can tell you right now, if people want to help people out, the Strathbogies, they can go and buy a bottle of wine, because we're going to need all the help. Like a lot of, you know, when people hear about fires, they tend to stay away. So, you know, we've had to shut the cellar door and restaurant that we have. So that's just, you know, complete 100% halt to that business, which is, you know, important to us. And then people stay away. So, you know, understandably, but when this passes, particularly today and when it's safe, you know, I just hope people return to in droves to the Strathbogies, not just to our place, but this community is going to need a lot of support. And, we're going to need people going out of their way to get up here and get around the team, because it is devastating, the stuff that I saw. There's virtually not a blade of grass on our joint now. So it's bloody tough.
It was tough to listen to, wasn't it, there? Matt Fowles talking about what he's been through. He's a winemaker and sheep producer from Avenel, talking about what happened at his place yesterday, speaking with Annie Brown.
You're with Angus Firley and the Country Hour on ABC Radio.
Let's head to Alexandra now, which is under threat by that Longwood fire. Andrew Embling, a local stock agent, has been busy helping put control lines around the town. G'day, Andrew.
G'day, Angus. Good. Good afternoon to all. Yeah, look, just at the moment, we put a lot of stock away this morning to look after that. We now got some farmers' tractors with multi-discs, and we're going around those places just putting a final break just to see if we can help anyone on the outskirts of the town.
How far away is the fire?
I've just been told about 2-3 kilometres, and we'll hit the northwest side of our town, which is when you're coming in, you know, sort of in around where the Dwelp and the ICC is at the moment. But look, we've got great fire resources here. I saw a whole heap of MFB trucks come in around about, you know, an hour ago. And look, I know we've got a fair bit of protection here, but we'll be working with it. And of course, the main thing is for everyone's safety, trying to get people out of the town that are still here. If they don't want to stay, go now. You know, you have to go down through the south, down through, you know, Taggarty, Bucks, and into Melbourne that way, because everywhere else is closed.
And what are the weather conditions like?
Mate, I'm just looking at the car temperature now, and I'm looking at 42 degrees and, you know, a northerly wind, which has just come around, so that's not going to help us at all. Mate, I'm just going to get out of the car, and hopefully you'll follow me. You there?
You're right, Andrew. We're talking to Andrew Embling there, who's busy putting control lines around. We've got Andrew back. Yes.
Yeah, mate, we're just opening a few gates. All the horses around town, they've been able to go down into, we were due to have a rodeo here last night. That didn't happen. Saturday night, so we put the rodeo grounds, which are already set up, about 35 horses down there at the moment. They'll be getting looked after there. So, we're doing the very best we can for everybody in this community.
Andrew, you've got a lot on your plate, so I'll leave you to it.
Good on you, mate. Thanks. And look, everybody just stay safe. We're all out there working off each other.
Well said, Andrew. That was Andrew Embling there. He's a stock agent in the Alexandra district. As he said, the fire is approaching. They're busy putting control lines around that town. And appreciate, Andrew, bringing that important information when you were also doing very important work at the time. 12:30 on the Country Hour.
This is the Country Hour with Angus Furley on ABC Radio.
Earlier this morning, I spoke with Scott Purcell. He's a beef producer at Merton. That's west of Bonnie Doon. I'm not exactly sure what's happened since I spoke to you, Scott. I hope it's okay at your place, but Scott evacuated his property last night with the fire approaching. He headed back this morning, and I had a chat to him when he was busy refueling pumps, concerned with these swirling winds, that those winds might drive the fire back toward his place.
The wind's just picking up now. What is it on? It's about 9 o'clock in the morning. The wind's just starting to go bananas now. It's just come over the ridge towards home now. We've just got a heap of utes with slip-ons here, sort of trying to black it out where it's already burnt before the wind turns and brings it back towards home here. Last night was probably one of the scariest things I've ever been through, that's for sure.
What was it like last night?
It was like tornado-like winds. The wind literally ripped sheets of tin off my house, lifted up the chook shed and threw it about 500 metres down in the paddock. There was embers and stuff going everywhere. It was terrifying. We were all sort of geared up, ready to stay. And when that come through and we were dodging bits of the house, we were all like, no, we better pack it up and call it a night, I think. We got out last night when it settled down. I come back this morning just to see if I still had a house, which I do, thank God. Missed us by about 500 metres or so. Just sort of praying that the wind doesn't change and bring it back around again today.
Right, so as it stands, it's gone past?
Yeah, so far, yeah. But it is sort of burning an L shape around us, so we'll just have to see what happens.
And from all reports I've heard, Scott, the winds are very unpredictable and changing direction very quickly.
100%. It's like there's just swirling in here, yeah. Yeah, 100%.
What about your livestock?
We got them all out. Mason Tate from Barmu Haulage come straight out as soon as we put the call out, and we jammed the whole lot, or nearly the whole lot. We had to bring Michael Hazeman bought a trailer out as well, and we got them all out. I'm not sure where they are, but they've taken them somewhere off the property at least. So.
Rightio, so good friends stand up in tough times.
Oh, 100%, mate. You should have seen the people. We probably had 20 or 30 people come through between friends and neighbours and stuff yesterday, all just letting us know that they were here, and they weren't talking shit over. They were literally here when it turned to shit. So it's pretty humbling to see the people around you, that's for sure.
How do you try and stay composed and get the job done when things are so stressful?
Oh, it is what it is, mate. I think it's just, yeah, what else can you do?
So what now, Scott?
We'll just see what happens today. We're just going to keep trying to black out the bit that's already passed. Like, there's still a lot of smoke, a lot of trees and stuff burning. So if the wind turns back this way, we'll probably be in strife, so we're just going to do what we can to get out what we can. But it's that big that we're in utes with slip-ons 1,000 litres at a time. We're not really making any difference at all.
And you're back there now. Are you going to stay there, or are you going to leave again?
I'm going to stay here for now. If the wind changes and comes back towards home, I'll head out of here. But for now, we're going to stay here.
And you'll have a pathway out of there?
Yeah, we do. We've got a pretty good road out so far. If it looks like it's getting close to the road, we'll head out. All the cattle are out, the dogs are out, the family's out. So it's just us boys in here at the minute, and we'll see how we go.
And how's everyone around you, your neighbours and your friends, getting on?
They're all sort of the same. I've seen a few of them down at the rec reserve this morning at the safety zone there, and there's pretty mixed emotions down there. You've got to tread carefully. I know a lot of people have already lost their homes and that now. So, there's definitely some very mixed emotions in the area at the minute.
Do you know how many reports have you heard of people who've lost their homes?
Oh, I've heard bits and pieces, but without knowing, no, I don't know. I mean, you can see where the fire's gone through, and obviously we know what houses are in that area, just from being around the area, but whether the houses have held up or not, I'm not sure.
And Scott, we heard yesterday that the CFA saying that once the winds pick up to those extreme highs, that the choppers and the planes can't fly. They're the ones that you really need, aren't they?
That's right, 100%. They're doing God's work out there. You know, like I said, there's a lot of farmers doing what they can with slip-on units and that, but a fire this size, to be honest, we're not really making a difference. It's just doing what we can. I think I'll cut probably 6 or 8 fences today up the road. Just I've seen a mob of cows that were in there getting burnt, so I went and just started cutting fences. And there's, I mean, everyone's just doing what they can, but that's all you can do, I suppose.
Yeah, tough times.
It is, yeah, it's shit.
Going into this fire, Scott, what's the country like? I'm imagining there's a big fuel load in the bush, and then out of the bush, everything's pretty dry.
Yeah, 100%. It's like that. At the beginning, we initially put all our cattle on our silage crop that's already come back nice and green. We thought they'll be all right in here. And then when we saw the sheer size of the heat of this fire, well, there's not a chance anything's going to survive the heat if this comes through. So there's a lot of bushland. The bushland's it's pretty bad at the minute. Like, it's dry, there's shit everywhere. A lot of dry grass, a lot of long grass. It's, once this wind's here, which is picking up now, I don't know if you can hear it. I think it's just going to, it'll stop wherever it stops. We don't know where.
How quickly has the fire been moving?
I had a mate on the Ruffy fire yesterday. He said when them gusts were coming through, it was jumping 800 metres at a time.
Scott, you've got heaps on your plate. I'll get out of your hair, but thanks for taking a few minutes to share your perspective of what's happening.
No worries, mate. Appreciate it.
That was Scott Purcell, beef producer at Merton, west of Bonnie Doon. I spoke to him a few hours ago. I've just checked back with him with a text message to see how he's getting on at his place. I'll let you know if he does get back in touch with me. But, yeah, that's those conditions last night, and it's worse today, isn't it? The winds, I mentioned earlier, we've got those 80-kilometre-an-hour wind gusts in Horsham. Just looking out the window, it's pretty wild, but at least we don't have fires of significance in Western Victoria, unlike over in the northeast. We will keep talking to those fires. We'll talk to more people in the Longwood fire footprint, and we'll also talk about the Walwa fire. We've got a journalist up there, so we'll cross to her shortly. But 37 past 12, or 23 to 1 on the country hour, let's head off to the Bureau now. Daniel Sherwin, Simpson senior forecaster, joins us. Good afternoon, Daniel.
Good afternoon, Angus.
Daniel, the conditions out there, I can barely remember a day this bad.
Yeah, it's absolutely treacherous out there. As you mentioned, the wind is a very, very big factor today. We've seen temperatures climbing up into the 40s pretty much over the whole western and northern interior of the state. We're even seeing temperatures in the sort of central parts of the state getting up into the 40 degrees. But the wind, as you mentioned, out at Horsham gusting up near 80 kilometres an hour. That's not just the gust as well. The average wind speeds are getting up to near 60 to 70 kilometre an hour out in the Wimmera. Some of the stronger gusts we've seen have been down towards Colac at Mount Gellibrand. They've got a 56 knot gust, which is over 100 kilometres an hour, so winds are really starting to pick up. And unfortunately, the bad news is it probably will only get a little bit worse from here on out, particularly if you're in sort of an area, if you imagine a triangle from St. Arnaud up in the Wimmera down to about Colac to the Melbourne CBD. In that sort of area is when we're really going to see the gusts pick up over the next hour or two. So that includes places like Ballarat as well. These gusts could be getting up near the 100 kilometre an hour mark, possibly even exceeding it. So very, very severe weather conditions, particularly if there are any fires that do develop. We saw quite a bit of dry lightning across the state yesterday, which could lead to further fire development today. We've already seen quite a few little fires pop up, a couple in Gippsland, some in the eastern ranges, as well as one up in the Big Desert, sort of far northeast, northwest of Hopetoun. That's already starting to put off a lot of smoke, so we'll likely see that smoke spreading down across large parts of the state. It's got quite a lot of scrub to run into, so there's plenty of fuel up there for that. So the conditions are pretty much as bad as it gets for fire weather today, Angus.
And Daniel, the conditions on the fire ground, so the Longwood fire in sort of north, central Victoria, and then up in the northeast at the Walwa fire, and then into Gippsland as well, what are the winds like through those regions?
Yeah, so I guess the closest weather station to that Longwood fire is Mangalore Airport. It's quite a bit to the west, but generally we're looking at winds gusting up around the 60 kilometre an hour mark, with average winds around 40 or so. But up where the fire is, that could be a bit more gusty as well. We haven't seen the worst of the conditions up at that Longwood fire, unfortunately. The real peak of the worst of the conditions is expected to come through in the next couple of hours, continuing until around 5 or 6 o'clock. We'll see the wind change that's moving up the southwest now get to that fire. We're currently expecting around 8 o'clock, possibly 9 o'clock in the evening, if it gets slowed down a little bit by terrain. And I heard the wind change sort of described as a double-edged sword by someone from the CFA today, although it will reduce the temperatures quite a bit and increase the humidities, which will subdue the fire danger. It'll rapidly shift the direction of which this fire is moving and give it a whole new batch of fuel to burn through. So the wind change is not your saving grace today. Back in 2009, when we saw the Black Saturday fires roll through the hills, we actually saw most of the deaths from that fire happen after the wind change. So don't think because the wind change is coming through and the conditions are settling, you are safe and out of the worst of it.
And the wind change in general, Daniel, I understand the winds are swirling around and creating their own microclimates, I suppose, but in general, what direction will the wind change into tonight or this evening?
Yeah, so currently we're sort of expecting it to shift to a south to southwesterly. By the time we get to 2 o'clock, that'll still generally be hanging around the southern coast of the state along the surf coast, and it'll start to make its way inland through the southwest and the western Wimmera. Places like Nil around 2 o'clock to maybe 3 o'clock, we'll start to see that wind change. By the time we get to about 6 o'clock or so, if you draw a line from about Mildura down to Melbourne CBD, that's probably anywhere to the west of that will be in a southerly airstream, while to the north of it will be in a more northwesterly, with those really hot northwesterlies. That's where the worst conditions are. And as I mentioned, up around that Longwood fire, probably expecting around 8 or 9 o'clock possibly. And then as that wind change sort of moves into the northeastern ranges, it gets sort of halted by the terrain a bit, so it becomes a bit harder to pick. But we're not expecting this wind change to make it to that Walla Walla fire up in the northeast until the early hours of tomorrow morning. Up in that far northeast of the state, they still have some pretty warm temperatures tomorrow. Not as warm as today. The conditions will be slightly better, but still not great. Up at Corryong, they've got a 35 on the forecast for tomorrow. Wodonga's got a 31, so still staying very warm up there, which means the heat wave lingers around a bit more up there as well.
I wanted to ask about when the change in temperature blows through. So when will it at least reach the west of the state?
Yeah, so, yeah, as I mentioned, we'll start to see it creeping in the west in the next few hours, Nil by about 2 to 3 o'clock. When that temperature change hits, it will certainly hit. You'll definitely feel it. There's quite a cool air mass. If we look down at Warrnambool right now, which has probably picked up that wind change, they're only sitting at about 25 degrees or so, whereas if you look a little bit further northeast at Mortlake, that doesn't have the change, they're sitting at 39, so it's quite a steep temperature gradient. When it comes through, you will well and truly feel it. You'll feel the wind shift around. Could still be pretty gusty behind that change, though, which does increase the risk for the fires, unfortunately. But in terms of the relief from the heat wave, when that change moves through, you'll start to really feel the relief. But as I mentioned, that northeastern part of the state will likely remain in severe heat wave into tomorrow as well.
Yeah. And beyond that, Daniel, we have got a week of at least not extreme hot temperatures.
Yeah, things really settle back once that change moves through and the immediate winds behind it back off. When we move into the weekend, temperatures actually drop below average for most of the state. By Sunday, we're below average across the entire state, generally hanging around the sort of 20 to 30 degree range, possibly even seeing some temperatures in the teens in places along the coast. Just noting here, I've got Geelong's got a 19 on the forecast, Warrnambool's got an 18 for Sunday, so it does really cool down. Almost doesn't feel even like summer afterwards, but we will generally return to, I guess, more settled and, I guess, average weather conditions by the time we get into Monday, Tuesday next week. Possibility of seeing a couple of light showers across the south at times, but not looking at anything of too much significance.
Daniel, you've got a lot to monitor there, so I'll let you get back to it.
Cheers. Thank you very much, Angus.
Daniel Sherwin-Simpson there, Senior Forecaster at the Bureau, just talking about the way the weather's behaving now, those winds picking up, those 80, 100 kilometre an hour wind gusts, then the change does blow through. But of course, with that brings the wind change, which creates all of those extra complexities for those fighting these fires. We'll go to our next story shortly, but I have got some emergency information to get through, and there's a fair bit here, so just bear with me. And there's some new information about the Hume Freeway. If you haven't heard this already, it's closed again in both directions between Seymour and Violettown. You should detour via the Goulburn Valley Freeway and the Murchison Violettown Road and allow an extra 20 minutes for the detour. And don't rely on your Google Maps or your Apple Maps to follow that detour, because they won't necessarily be up to date. So just follow the road signs and follow the crews directing traffic. EB information is emergency broadcasting information for the Longwood fire. There are now 5 emergency warnings for either take shelter or leave immediately. That's for that very large area from the Hume Freeway between Avenel and Euroa in the north, past the Goulburn River in the south, and west of Kerrisdale, and then east past Yark. That area is increasing, and the fire is travelling from Longwood in an easterly direction. It's heading toward Bonnie Doon, Strathbogie State Forest, and Merton. It's also travelling in a southeasterly direction toward Eildon. The fire is expected to be in Alexandra, as we heard earlier from Andrew Embling, very, very shortly. They were working very hard there to put up those control lines around the town. There are 4 take shelter warning messages for the following communities, and bear with me because this is a part of the world I'm not overly familiar with, so excuse my pronunciation, but they're for Cathkin, Caveat, Gingin, Highlands, Canumbra, Killingworth, Coriella, Molesworth, Yark, and Wanragaran. And I'll just skip down to the next one. There's another group of communities: Ancona, Fawcett, Gorham, Merton, Strathbogie South, and Woodfield, and Caveat, Crichton's Creek, Dropmore, Goba, Gurram, Highlands, Canumbra, Kelvin View, Loxley, Longwood East, Ruffy, Strathbogie, Tarkham, Tarp, Upton Hill, and for Alexandra, Devil's River, Fawcett, Lake Eildon, and Main Tongoon. And you are in danger and you need to act immediately to survive. The safest option is to shelter indoors. It's too late to leave if you are in those communities. There are also leave immediately messages for the following communities: Acheron, Devil's River, Eildon, Taylor's Bay, Thornton. You must leave by 1 p.m, which is almost immediately if you haven't left already, and that's via the Taggarty-Thornton Road down the Maroondah Highway. Do not travel into Alexandra. And for those in Cathkin, Caveat, Gingin, Highlands, Canumbra, Killingworth, Coriella, Limestone, Molesworth, Wanragaran, Yark, you must also leave immediately. And there are also 3 Watch and Act warnings to either stay near shelter, leave now, prepare to leave, or monitor conditions. Also, for the Walwa River Road fire, there are 2 emergency warnings to leave immediately, with 2 Watch and Act warnings in adjoining areas. The combined warning areas cover in the north, Tholagalong, Bunjil, Barowie, east of Talangata, and west of Corryong, and in the south to Toowong. There's also the fire at Wanangatta that we haven't discussed on the Country Hour today. There are 3 bushfires with a Watch and Act warning issued for the Abbeysid, Wanangatta, to monitor conditions in the Alpine National Park. 2 fires are burning near Van Dam's Track, and 1 is burning near Selwyn Track. And another fire as well, the Gippsland Bellbird Creek fire. A Watch and Act is in place to monitor conditions as they are changing, and that Watch and Act has been issued for Bellbird Creek and Club Terrace. The bushfire is travelling from Bellbird Creek to Whittingham's Access Road in a southerly direction, and it could impact the Prince's Highway. Stay tuned to ABC Radio. As you would have heard throughout the morning, we bring you those updates on a very, very regular basis, and as soon as they change, we do bring you those changes.
Keeping you updated, this is The Country Hour with Angus Verley on ABC Radio.
We'll return to the Longwood fire now, where the local footy club has opened up to help CFA crews. Rick Shiner is president of the club. He was out last night helping put out fires, and Annie Brown spoke to him earlier.
Yes, I was up in Longwood last night at but some members of the Football Netball Club, Mark and Catherine Goodall, just at their property, just trying to block out a few trees and, you know, a little bit of grass and vegetation that was still burning.
What's it look like out in Longwood in the region right now? Like, how would you describe it?
Well, at the moment, things are reasonably calm, which is good, and hopefully it stays that way. But from Wednesday night when I was Longwood to last night, just sort of how far it had moved. It's just it sort of blows your mind, and you can understand how dangerous that is, and you know why people should sort of take the warning seriously, and if they're told to get out, we'll get out.
How much damage would you say it's done?
Oh, look, I couldn't tell you that until you're right up there amongst it, and the fires are past. Who would know? You hear lots of stories from people of losing sheds, and we've obviously been told there's been a number of properties lost, but until you get up there, you really don't know. I know that Mark and Catherine, where I were last night, their house and sheds are still standing, but there's not a fence on the property basically, and Mark's parents, which are just on the other side of the hill from them, lost some sheds and those sorts of things, but they've kept the house. So, as I said, until you're sort of up amongst it and the fires are past, who really knows?
Been hearing a lot about the community of Ruffey, and it's been pretty devastating down there as well. Have you heard much from there? Do you know many people there?
Oh, yeah, well, we're obviously small communities and all very close. Obviously, it seems that Ruffey was hit, quite badly yesterday, and that's sort of the way the fire's been pushing. Just as I'm here now, the wind's sort of picking up and pushing I suppose you would call it a north easterly type direction, which is that roughy kind of way. But as I said, the information for that sort of stuff is best coming from firefighters, not from a humble little club resident.
And what's happening at the football club ground and the club rooms at the moment? You've got the CFA members down there?
Yeah, the community centre there is the hub or the headquarters for the CFA, so they seem to be coordinating things from there. They've got the Longwood ladies and other caterers down there making sure that they're fed and hydrated and as rested as could be. Our netballers yesterday put together, towels and sort of pamper packs and shampoos and body wash and that sort of stuff for the firefighters to just refresh themselves. But that's a pretty hard thing. We get so many people reaching out wanting to help, but just at the moment there's, sort of only so much you can do.
Yeah, so what do you need at the moment?
Good weather. That'd be the number one thing. Good weather. That'd be the top priority. But as I said, certainly for us, and once the fires pass, that's when we need all hands on deck and just to help our community and club members and just just clean up and just try and help them get back on their feet and that good community spirit, which at times we probably question it, but. Sort of times like this, you certainly see these smaller communities really sort of pull together, and it's amazing. As the club president, you've got phone calls and messages coming from all over the country, people that have passed through Longwood, people that have played with the club, and they just all sort of keep an eye on it and care. So, but when the fires do pass, that's when things will really kick into gear for us, and we'll do what we can to help.
How would you describe the community of Longwood?
Oh, it's an amazing little community. It's salt of the earth people is what I'd describe them as. They're just the people that for a small town, it really sort of bats above its weight. It's an amazing little town. They all get in behind each other. The school and the sporting clubs, which obviously there's not too many in a small town, and the Ashen group, and everyone sort of pitches in and we all help each other out. And as I said, it certainly bats above its weight.
Well, Rick, thanks for having a chat with us and giving us an update from on the ground. Really appreciate it. All the best for today. Hope it is not as bad as what is being predicted. What's the plan for you for the rest of the day?
Well, I'm a carpenter by trade, so I'm trying to renovate my house to make my wife happy. But it's, as I said, I certainly got up yesterday morning not expecting to turn my hand to, sort of going to black out fires. But you do what you got to do. So at the moment, just play it by ear, and if the phone rings, you answer it.
That was Rick Shiner, president of the Longwood Redlegs, and he spoke with our reporter Annie Brown earlier today. 5-1 on the Country Hour. Let's return to that Walwa fire now. Our reporter Erin Somerville has been out in the field. Afternoon, Erin.
Hello, Angus.
Erin, where are you now?
Look, I'm at the Incident Control Centre for this fire. That's based in Tilangata, which is west of these fires. This fire today, this emergency out-of-control bushfire, is travelling in a southeast direction. That is meant to continue for most of today. Now, areas that are likely to be impacted are Kuitong, Shelley, Beringama and Kajiwar. Incident Controller for this fire, Aaron Kennedy, here at Tilangata this morning, told us that today is a day where they are not going to be stopping this fire. That's not going to be happening today or overnight. The focus is purely on protecting assets and lives. He says this fire is really comparable to the Black Summer bushfire, which tore through this region in 2019 and 2020. And today's conditions are comparable to that, as well as the 2009 Black Saturday event. Now, aerial support has been really strong for this bushfire, which has been burning since Tuesday, but heat and wind may mean that they can't carry out aerial support later today. So residents who are unable to defend their properties without the support of on-ground firefighters or fire crews in the sky should be leaving if they're in those areas. It's a 17,000 hectare fire so far. That's really expected to spread quite quickly and get much larger as the day goes on. We're getting some of these winds already coming through from the northwest. It's burning into forestry, and it's also this morning just entering country that was burnt by these Black Summer bushfires 6 years ago. But the positive so far is that there have been no reports of property losses. We are expecting, though, impact to assets. Parts of the Murray Valley Highway are already closed, and we're expecting that road to be impacted later today. There's also the chance for major power lines which run through that area to be impacted. So people are being told to prepare for blackouts. This means having a battery-powered radio so people can get that latest up-to-date information. And we do know there is a cool change forecast for late this evening, but firefighters really don't know what the impact of this change will mean. There's 300 firefighters on the ground at the moment. That's made up of Forest Fire Management Victoria, the CFA, and also from New South Wales Rural Fire Service. We have 300 firefighters on the ground. They're not expected to get on top of this fire. So that's very indicative of just how dire the conditions are today.
Erin, this is a lot for people to deal with, both in the sort of physical sense, but also mentally. How do you think people are holding up?
I've been travelling through the region most of this week, lots of these areas, particularly before they came under these emergency warning areas. We're also in contact with people over the phone, seeing on social media. What they are telling us is that people still carry the trauma from Black Summer, but they are a lot more prepared. People really have the experience this time, many people living in this area, of having faced similar conditions. They've built on that knowledge, they've built on that experience. They know where to turn to for any information, and they know just how unpredictable these fires and these embers can be. So that's some of the lessons that we as the ABC are seeing, and also when we've spoken to firefighters, they are saying people are leaving much earlier. But in saying that, police have door knocked some of these areas, and properties, many people at properties are choosing to stay. They're advising people to heed the warnings to evacuate, but they are saying that firefighters are reporting that people are appearing to be a lot more prepared and have a lot more comprehensive bushfire plans, having come out of this experience just 6 years ago.
Erin, really appreciate the information.
Thanks, Angus.
Erin Somerville, there's our reporter in the northeast. She's been out at Tilangata at the Incident Control Centre for that Walwa fire. And thanks for listening today. Hopefully we've brought you some useful information on what is a horrific day, as we've heard throughout the program, many people likening it to both Black Saturday and the Black Summer weather conditions we had. Let's hope we do get a reprieve from the weather before long. We've got that front to go through, firefighters dealing with the challenges and complexities that the changing winds conditions bring. Let's hope for all the best, and stay listening to ABC local radio. Between 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock today, Prue Bentley and Fiona Parker will be broadcasting, continuing to bring you the latest information. So stay listening for that and regular emergency updates. News time now.